Welcome in, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris, your humble host here. So glad to have you here on the show. And I am aiming to help you become a real estate investor, a more intelligent real estate investor. I think one of the ways that we can do that is when other people ask questions. You know, not all of us have the answers. Not all of us know the right questions to ask. And very often we can learn great things from other people's questions. So today on the show, we're going to answer three of your questions. And you can always leave us a voicemail question as well if you've got something on your mind. Go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Again, that's morrisinvest.com/Clayton to leave us a 30-second voicemail question. So on today's show, we've got three questions. The first one is from Nancy.
Hi there. I think I have enough money for a down payment to start my investing. I'm just curious, what types of financing do you offer? Is there just the conventional or are there other options for me, or and then how do the rates work for the conventional loans if that's what you have? Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy. Well, okay, so we work with over 60 different lenders at Morris Invest if you're working with us particularly. Okay, this is a question directed to us. We are a full service rental real estate company, and so our properties are new construction, and as a tenant moves into the property, then that's when we close on the property with our clients. So the cash flow, like a tenant is already cash flowing in the property, and the banks have already provided and have already solidified their conventional financing during our construction phase. So they've already signed off on it. It's got the conventional financing ready to go, pretty much, so that when you come to work with us, they're going to look at their basic credit score and things like that. And then the process can be pretty quick in order to close. So conventional financing, yes. And that's based on obviously the current mortgage rates and so forth. So we work with 60 different lenders internally to help you get the best rates, because every provider is going to have perhaps different rates based on the larger major benchmark rate that the federal government sets at the Federal Reserve. So everything is sort of based on that. So if rates go up a little bit at the Federal Reserve level, then yes, we are going to see an increase in rates at the conventional level. And you'll need to bring about a 20% down payment for that type of a loan. That would be in your own name. And then, of course, you later on could transfer it to an LLC later. So you would close in your own name, and then a week or so later, work with a lawyer, and then you can, for a couple $100s, transfer that over to an LLC. So that's a very easy process. Again, our team can help you with that. Then the other type of financing we have available is non-recourse financing. So I've done whole videos on the channel about it. I would encourage you, Nancy, to go check those videos out and watch those. All about understanding what non-recourse financing is, which is simply the bank is looking at the asset itself. They don't really care about you, the person. They have already, through the construction phase, they've already been on the ground, boots on the ground in the demographic area. They believe this is a great low crime area, the best school districts, job growth, all of those things. And the reason is they're backing the asset itself. So if you skip town, they now have an asset on their balance sheets. And that's okay with them because they've identified this asset as a great performing asset. Property management is great. The tenant is in the property great. So it's almost like having an extra set of eyeballs, right? They've done their own appraisals on it, just like the conventional side has done. So they have identified this asset as a gold asset, and the down payment is going to be a little bit higher. So you're looking in the 30-35% down payment range. And those, I know we had a client just have non-recourse this week, and I asked him, Bill, I think was on one of our live shows. I asked Bill, I said, what did you get for your financing rate, your interest rate with non-recourse? And if you try to do it on your own, it's going to be like 11 or 12%. But we've been working with these non-recourse lenders for so many years that we're able to get a very, very low interest rate. So I think his bill, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was like 5.5%, something like that. So just a little bit more than conventional financing. But again, it's not tied to your personal name. So it's not in your personal credit, and it's not backed by you. So that's why you're putting a little bit more money down. It's great for international investors who don't have an American entity set up. It's also great for people that have faulty credit, or credit hasn't been great in the past. Or it's also great for the people that want to go beyond the 10 property limit with conventional financing. So that's the value of non-recourse financing. Yes. So we have multiple options there on the financing side. So if you're interested, you can book a call with our team. Just go to morrisinvest.com and we'll help you with that. All right, our next question. And by the way, we have whole videos on the financing piece here on the channel. Okay, Steve has our next question.
Hi, Clayton. My name is Steve, and I have two questions. I live in the suburb of Buffalo, New York. I'm hearing chatter about rental properties will become a downfall in the next couple of years. If so, why? And my second question was, I will be coming into some cash in the next year. Should I invest in commercial property with small square footage?
So, Steve, if I think I heard you correctly, you said that you think that rental properties are going to become a downfall in the next couple of years. I'm curious what that's based on. You said you're hearing chatter of that. I'd be very leery of chatter unless it comes from a really reputable source, people that have been in this game for a long time, that have experience with data and numbers or have been through this. If you're hearing chatter from people that aren't big time real estate investors, I would be leery of that. So again, I'm going to listen to people that are more successful than me that have been there. But if you're listening to an uncle, and I'm not saying you are, but you know, if you're listening to an uncle that's like, I don't know, Steve, I wouldn't be getting involved in real estate investing. You know, your Aunt Mildred owned a property back in the 1980s and it was a headache for her. So I want to know that the chatter you're hearing is from real estate investors who are plugged in and who have been there, done that, and they're noticing real data in the marketplace for some reason in Buffalo. I can't speak to what's happening in Buffalo specifically, but I can tell you at a, more broadly, we have a affordable housing crisis in the United States. We absolutely cannot build enough of them for people. So, you know, if people can't buy homes because interest rates rise and people are priced out, that's what's happening in the retail space. Prices are rising like crazy across the country and first-time home buyers are being priced out. Those lower income Americans that would love to buy a home, you know, they've seen a home that they would have loved to have bought for $150,000. Now it's $220,000. And they just think, I can't afford that. So they're renting. I just don't see where in a few years renting is going to become out of fashion. You know, you go through cycles for sure. And there is no one housing bubble. There's no one housing market. You know, Miami is different than Buffalo. Montana is different than Tampa. So everything in every area of this country is going to be different. But everyone will always need a place to live. And there's two ways that you can live. You can own a house or you can rent a house. So unless we start giving homes away for free, and unless houses start plummeting in prices and interest rates drop back down to 2.5%, I just don't see it. I mean, we have an absolute affordable housing crisis in the United States. I mean, we need 20 million units. So what's going to happen if rentals become, I don't know. I mean, you know, one thing we could see, of course, is this eviction moratorium. And we could see a lot of people, of course, you know, homeless, unfortunately. I mean, homeless shelters as a result of the pandemic had filled up, right? People were being turned away at homeless shelters in the United States. And rents have been going up during this pandemic. Rents and prices of homes have been going up. So I just would be curious about that data. I'd be curious to see like who's saying that and what they mean and what are they basing it on. So remember that real estate investing is the number one way to build and preserve wealth that we've ever seen. Okay. And so I just would caution you about some of this sort of chatter. Like I'd love to see what it's actually based on. And then you talked about buying commercial property, smaller square footage commercial property. You know, I know that there are investors moving into the commercial space back in Manhattan. There's a large groups buying up commercial space again in New York City. Probably pennies on the dollar. I don't know. You know, to me, that's more of a tea leaf reading and trying to read a crystal ball of the future. You know, are people going to want to move into smaller offices again? Like, is that where we're headed? Maybe. And is that a smart investment? Perhaps. Again, I'm not a financial advisor. I don't buy commercial property for that very reason. I buy homes because people will always need a place to live. Will they always need offices? I don't know. We know that Apple this week, this announcement this week from Apple, it's like deciding right now about how many days of the week they are going to require their employees to be in the office versus home. Every company is sort of grappling with, well, remote versus home. We saw these people buying houses out in the countryside so they don't have to be in the city anymore. I don't know that I personally would want to be putting my value and worth and future investment into commercial space, unless it maybe was warehouse space. So we know there's an incredible demand in the commercial space right now for people getting boxes delivered to their homes, right? And they're not all Amazon. Think about how many different companies are sending you hot sauces and this boxed item and this thing, and right? And so all of these smaller warehouse and distribution points are being required all across the United States. And I have commercial investor friends who've literally torn down large high-rise office buildings in favor of single-story warehouse spaces for that very reason. So larger warehouse space, to me, is an incredible demand right now. I think hotels and smaller boutique things have been completely overbuilt. So again, that's not an area of my expertise. I can just tell you what I know from the data. And I, to me, am a real estate investor. I'm a residential real estate investor in the single family and duplex home variety, because the demand is there and will always be there, in my opinion. So thank you for that question, Steve. Good one. Good thought-provoking one. I like that one. Okay, here's our next one is from Daryl.
Hi, Clayton. This is Daryl. I have a question. My question is, how would you market to those people that are about to lose their home to tax delinquent? How would you go about, you know, contacting those people and finding out where they are to see if they want to sell?
Great question. So this is a wholesale approach, right? This is a person. Now, for those of you who don't know my story, I started out doing wholesaling years ago, and I would spend about $11,000, $12,000 a month in direct mail marketing, mailing all kinds of lists throughout New Jersey. And so tax delinquent, 100% equity homeowners, vacant landlords, or I'm sorry, tired landlords that are not living in the property, live states away, and I would mail to them. All of those strategies, sending postcards and yellow letters and everything. So I have a deep understanding of this. Tax delinquent in New Jersey was always difficult, because in New Jersey, property taxes were so stinking high. And so it might appear on paper at the county level that this particular homeowner is wildly tax delinquent, when in fact, they might have just missed like 1 or 2 months of tax payments. And it looks like, oh my gosh, you know, if you live in Nebraska, you're like, whoa, $4,000 tax delinquent. That person must be ready to like sell that house because they're tax delinquent. No, in New Jersey, that could literally be like 2 months of taxes. So you need to be careful. In fact, I got in trouble sometimes when I would send a tax delinquent letter to somebody saying, you know, we're buying properties in this area, and there are a couple of different postcards and strategies, but basically not referencing the fact that they're in trouble, but letting them know that we are interested in buying homes in this neighborhood. We are home builders or something like that. And we're interested in buying your home. We'd be love to talk with you about it. And if someone is tax delinquent, it's basically, in many ways, it's like them putting up their hand saying, we just can't afford this home. And sadly, you know, and you might say to yourself, well, that might be, you know, it's taking advantage of someone, or it's not. You could be able to swoop in and actually help them out of a jam and actually buy the property from them, pay off their back taxes so they don't end up with this blemish on their record, you know, permanently. So it could be a way of helping someone if the numbers make sense. So, you know, sending them a letter, letting them know that you're interested in buying homes in this neighborhood, pulling the tax delinquent list. And I know there's a whole bunch of different lists. I'm not up on the latest list building process. I haven't done it in a number of years. You can usually get these at the county level, and I'm sure that there are aggregators out there that are able to provide you with a tax delinquent list. And then you want to look at how many months delinquent. Again, if you're in a high property tax area, I would caution you against that because they might be highly offended. I definitely had phone calls where I talked to homeowners who were like, why would you call, you know, why were you sending me a letter? I'm 2 months behind on my taxes and it's all paid off now. Why are you calling me? So be very careful about that kind of stuff. But if you are in areas where property taxes are very cheap and you notice that a family has had this property, they inherited it, they just haven't kept it up, they live five states away, they're not taking care of the property, grandma passed away and left them the property and they don't want to do anything with it, the house is tax delinquent now, you sending that person a letter states away might actually be a godsend for them, you know, and a way for you to offer them a great price on this property because it needs a ton of work and it's behind on taxes. Like, you might be their angel, honestly. And that's the way to kind of look at it in that way. It's like, hey, I noticed this house has been sitting there. There's some back taxes that are owed on the property. We happen to be buying properties in this particular neighborhood. We'd be interested in talking with you if you're interested in selling this house. Here's my phone number. And it's as simple as that. And then you send them that letter and they call you and you have a voicemail box that's set up specifically for that. Whatever it is, a Google Voice number or something else. And you start that process. So I hope you find that helpful, Daryl. You're giving me flashbacks to my wholesaling days. I used to be making 100 phone calls a day back in the day. So thank you, Daryl, for that. Great questions, all of you. If you have any questions you would like answered, you can do so here by going to morninginvest.com/Clayton. Leave us a voicemail question and I will try to tackle it for you. You gave me some tough ones today, especially Steve. Heck, Daryl gave me a tough one too, and Nancy with the financing. I had some meaty questions today. Thank you, everyone. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.